It's time for the most well-known sports radio icon in St. Louis. The show that begs you to answer the question, can I ever be this good? It's time for the Charlie Tuna Show, presented by Ameren Missouri on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.
Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started doing the things you used to do. As I was motivating over the
hill. Hey, welcome to the show, and we're playing Maybelline by, what you call him, Moses?
The grandfather of rock and roll.
Chuck Berry died Saturday. Several weeks ago, my daughter had called me and said several of his kids, nieces had come to town because he was very, very ill then. They didn't know if he was going to make it.
Right.
And my brother-in-law was married to one of his daughters, Melanie.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he was a cool guy. He had his ups and downs. But when somebody passes like that, you think about just the good stuff.
Oh, yeah, because he, Chuck Berry is right there in the vanguard of rock and roll.
One of the originals inducted
to the Hall
of Fame.
This guy, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, they all said that he was a great influence on them. So, you know, we've lost truly a great, and he was St. Louis's own.
And he stayed here.
He didn't leave. He stayed here.
What do you have, the Berry Farms out there in Wentzville area?
Mm-hmm.
150 acres, I think.
Yeah. You see testimonials from President Barack Obama, Scott Kelly, Stephen King, Rod Stewart, Keith Urban, Jesse Jackson, Mick Jagger, Huey Lewis, Charlie Daniels, Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan, to name a few.
Run the gamut.
I will go to the funeral because support my daughter's.
They may have to have the Schaefer's Arena because there's going to be some people want to tell you that.
There's going to be some people at that.
Yeah, from all over the world, they're going to come to make their. Pay their respects to this
first
man.
First inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, very first one.
So we'll salute Chuck Berry.
You know, he had a hit when I was a kid. I remember very vividly, 1972. It was kind of a silly song, Ding-a-ling.
Oh, yeah, I know that song.
You know that song, Joe?
Yeah, My Ding-a-ling.
That was his only number one hit.
You can find that for me.
That was his only number one hit.
Only number one hit.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, My Ding-a-ling.
My Ding-a-ling.
No, that was the only number one he had was My
My favorite lyric was, once I was swimming across Turtle Creek, man, them snappers all around my feet.
A very provocative song.
Yes,
folks,
it was.
Very funny.
We're going to be joined in a little bit. By the way, Wednesday night, the newly hired Mizzou coach, Kunzo Martin, who said today that he wants to be at Mizzou, this is his last stop.
Mm-hmm.
He meant it. Walked into the press conference with his entire family. And if you listen, did you listen to the press guy? He's a strong man, but he'll be with us Wednesday night at 9:30.
I did watch it. He said if they'll have him for 20 years, he'll be here for 20 years, which means that's his whole career.
He's in his, mid-late 40s?
I think 44, 45,
yeah,
something
like that. He's a good candidate to stay for 20 years if he wins, but he's going to have to win.
19th head coach in Mizzou history.
And the third African-American of the last four. How about that?
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
It's only been five since like 1960, early 1960s.
Yeah, because Storm and Norman, he had a stranglehold on it for a long time.
Yeah, well, going all that Norm Stewart crap.
You got that, Norm?
I'm sorry.
That's in the rearview mirror, not Charlie.
Kunzo's going to have to march up and down Norm Stewart Court.
There's one story I'm so damn tired of hearing about. This damn Tom Brady jersey stuff.
Yeah, ridiculous. I agree.
FBI, man, my God.
How does the FBI join in?
You get a Mexican guy that was put off of that media. He comes in and steals the jerseys from last year in Super Bowl 49. Then they find another helmet with him from Von Miller's. He stole Von Miller's helmet.
Is that what he does? He goes around stealing mementos after
Trump
the Super Bowl.
Wants to build that wall.
So they can't steal our jerseys.
But all the crap we got going on in this country.
We're worried about a jersey.
We're worried about a jersey.
Yeah.
It is Tom.
I'm just saying they haven't found who killed Tupac.
Right.
And he got killed on the Las Vegas Strip after a Mike Tyson fight. But they found that jersey so fast.
He killed Tupac.
That's ridiculous.
This is truly white privilege.
We all know
I'm so tired
Tupac
of that.
And killed Biggie.
We got to talk about Colin Kaepernick because Stephen A. Smith made some story interesting comments today. You hear what he said? He said, well, Colin couldn't play anymore. But
I saw what Stephen said.
But That had been somebody else he'd been signed to.
Yeah. Also, I had on my plate tonight, I want to get to my plate, the president had some comments to say about Kaepernick, too.
Which president? Your president?
The president of the United States. Oh. I'm not going to say
he's my president. You can say his name, but he ain't my president.
Every time I hear
I'd rather have
President
a dog
Trump this morning and President Trump yesterday, I giggle.
Because he lies
like President Trump tweeted this morning.
It's surreal.
All the time.
It's surreal.
Everything he says is a damn lie.
And you know what? He continues to make a mockery of that office that he holds.
Yes.
It's going to be great.
He does not. He has no idea how to conduct himself.
He owes a formal apology to President Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. And you know they're all sitting back, including Barack, so Michelle, all of them are laughing at him. And the two daughters, Daddy, what's wrong with that man? The orange hair.
And I'm going to tell you
Halloween
something.
Every day now.
I think that GW is talking and laughing at him, too.
They all are.
They have to be, yeah.
The Republicans are laughing at him.
They're like, man, how does this guy?
But they got to show support, but they're laughing at him.
Do you expect him to apologize for anything?
Hell no.
Exactly.
Have you ever apologized for anything?
No. Not at all. No.
He's not going to apologize.
As president, you should. He's not going to apologize. Hey, we're going to be joined by, go ahead and get Alvin Miller. Let's hear that song first. What's this called? Ding-a-ling?
My Ding-a-ling.
My Ding-a-ling.
It's swinging.
Chuck Berry, saluting Chuck Berry today.
A little bitty boy, my grandmother bought me a cute little toy. Silver bells hanging on a string. She said it was my ding-a-ling-a-ling, oh my ding-a-ling. Everybody singing, I wanna play with my ding-a-ling-a-ling, oh my.
Now, according to Billboard magazine, this made number one also.
Yeah, this was his only number one.
This is only one song, yeah. Right?
Only one, number one.
Unbelievable. Yeah. That this is only number one here.
You never, We'll be joined by Alvin Miller. My folks, if you don't know who Alvin Miller is, you don't know high school sports, do you, Moses?
No.
Not in this area.
This guy was a tremendous, tremendous athlete in his heyday at Kirkwood. I mean, the guy, he did everything. Played basketball, played football, ran track. He was the number one recruited football player in the country.
Yeah.
Wound up going to Vatican U, Notre Dame. And,
there's not too many from this area that actually go there.
No.
There's been maybe,
but I told him not to go there.
Maybe about six or seven in the last 25, 30 years.
Yeah. I said, Alvin, don't go there.
You did?
Don't go there.
Why did you tell him that?
We'll talk about
it now. Okay, we'll see.
Let's go to my guest line now.
I
called him my little brother. Alvin Miller, what's up?
Hey, all is well, Tuna. I just want to say I'm glad you gave us a chance to get on the radio and give us this opportunity to talk to you.
Okay, but I don't want to talk to you right now, though. You know who I want to talk to? I want to talk to the Gatorade Girls Player of the Year for the state of Missouri. Her name happens to be Lauren. Before I talk to her, though, how proud are you of her?
You know, I'm very proud. She's fought back through so many different things. She had the knee injury last year. She fought back, took her team to the championship. They got second. This year, she had a broken hand, and she had one of the best quotes I've ever heard in sports. She said, "Dad, if I sat on the bench, my hand was going to hurt, so I might as well play with a broken hand." She played some games with a broken hand before she set out and let it heal some. So I'm going to give you right now to Lauren Miller, one of my favorite athletes in St. Louis.
Hello, Lauren. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
This is Uncle Charlie. The uncle. Congratulations. Also in the studio with me are Tom and Moses, okay? We're going to have a few questions for you. Now, this is your fourth year. Is this your fourth year or junior year?
Fourth.
Okay, see. Now, what schools have, who have you been contacted by?
Well, during my recruiting, my Final Five ended up being Ohio State, UCLA, Mizzou, Notre Dame, and TCU. And in the final, I ended up choosing UCLA and signing with them last
September.
Jackie Jonah Kersey, that's a smart move. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what position are you?
Power forward.
Power forward. Who's your favorite player?
Candace Parker.
One of my favorite two female players. Tennessee, right?
Yes, exactly.
Did UConn at all contact you?
No, the game actually UConn had planned to come watch me. It was my first tournament that I tore my ACL and I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but it doesn't matter. You are extraordinary. Your mother and father, I'm sure, are very, very proud of you, and all the Pioneer family, the Kirkwood Pioneer people, are proud of you. We're going to salute you all next week because I'm just – I have two daughters, okay? One of my daughters was a track star, went to state and all that. My other daughter, who would have been a better athlete, they didn't do it. They got too pretty. So
wait a minute.
They got too pretty. But you worked hard. What's your coach's name?
Monica Tritz.
Monica Tritz. And she, you got to give some praise to her too. And well, let's mention your teammates as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. Coach Tritz has just been huge. She came my sophomore year, and as soon as she got there, she was really involved with us as just girls for one part, and then her coaching style just completely transformed me as a player. And my teammates this year especially have been huge. They've helped me through any injury I've experienced, and they've just been really excited for this whole entire process. And winning the state championship with them has just been really a dream come true, and it was no other group I'd rather win it with.
Lauren, how you doing? This is Moses. I want to ask you, did you feel any added pressure being the daughter of a legend like your dad, Alvin Miller, playing at the same school that he went to?
Not really pressure, just kind of the competition edge that we've always had since I was little, and just kind of it made household conversations fun, and edging him out in different records and doing what he didn't do basketball wise has just always been fun, and it made dinner conversations really exciting.
You narrowed your choices down. You eventually went with UCLA. Other than the weather, what was the big selling point for you to be a Bruin?
Coach Corey Close always was really big on making sure that I was going to be developed as a woman. And she told me that they do a huge photo shoot that kind of promotes them, just the beauty side. And she's just keen on that we're not just basketball players. And at the end of the day, we need to be well-rounded in all aspects of life. And I just thought that was huge and just something I knew I was going to need down the road in life.
Now, during the recruiting process, I'm sure it was very advantageous for you to have a dad who was a big-time recruit himself in his heyday to kind of help you navigate through those recruiting wars.
Oh, yeah, definitely, especially with there was certain tactics, you know, programs are always going to use. It was good to have him there to kind of explain that, you know, all those D1 BCS programs are going to have the glitz and glam when it comes to their facilities, but you have to really listen to the stuff that they either don't say or the things that they are preaching more so than just their facilities and the equipment that they have.
My guest tonight, Lauren Miller, the daughter of pride, proud father, daughter of Alvin, Mr. and Mrs. Alvin Miller. We'll be talking to your dad in just a moment. Some of the other players in the two other polls that are coming out soon. That the player of the year, you're the Gatorade player of the year. Also, that's a show me. They haven't announced those winners yet, have they?
No, not yet. Not the statewide, just through the Misha yet.
So, what are you going to do in the offseason to be prepared for UCLA?
Yeah, my trainer, Pee Wee Leonard, is actually super excited to finally have me full-time without AAU this year. So he's already getting ready to get me in the gym, and we're about to get me really cut and ready to become whatever position they want me to play out there. So he can't wait to have me full-time this summer.
I was going to say, at 6'2", in high school, being a power forward, how will – the UCLA Bruins utilize you and your size. Will you be a power forward still? Will you be a guard?
Yeah, the coaches are actually just really excited with my overall versatility because they know with their help, especially, I'll be able just to play wherever they need me to come in. And so, I mean, there'll be times I'll be at the wing and times I'll still be a stretch four. So they're just excited to get their hands on me so I can bring the element of that I have here and just kind of add it to their own offense now.
Lauren, I don't know if you were told during your recruiting visit, but whenever you play USC, it's going to be the Hatfields and McCoys. It's going to be like a border war. So be ready.
Yeah, they have already prepared me for that rivalry. For
she's
sure.
been through that with Webster Groves, so she should know.
Well, it's going to be ratcheted up 10 times.
Right.
Now, two other top players that committed to UCLA, Alexis Morris out of Texas. And of course, Kyla Owens, they've committed. So have you met them yet?
Yeah, Michaela and I, we've actually talked a lot, and we've gotten to know each other really well. And Lex and I were actually teammates for the USA team, and she ended up switching over to Baylor, but she and I still stay in touch and keep contact as the seasons have unfolded for the both of us.
You know, Mom and Dad are going to get real sad and homesick when they know you're leaving. Because, see, when my daughter left and go out of town, Lauren, I couldn't sleep, eat, talk, or walk. I'm serious. So I know your dad, he's going to start crying probably.
Probably.
Now, before I start talking to your dad, how much pressure did your dad put in you before and after the game? Was it any pressure at all?
He always knows I'm my biggest critic all the time, and so he always was just there to kind of keep myself from sacking myself out before and after games, and he was kind of the calming factor because I definitely have the whole being a judge part handled by myself.
Hey, young Lauren, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're going to follow your career. And from all of us here, Tom,
absolutely.
And congratulations.
Yes, congratulations, Lauren.
Thank you.
All right.
Great to see somebody of that stature going out into a big-time program like that, UCLA. It's great.
All right, Alvin, you there?
Yes.
Okay. You got to be just unbelievably proud of her, and I know your brother Art is as well.
You know what? I'm definitely. I kind of try to coach her the way Art coached me. It's always tough for you. It's a relative. Art was my brother, for me being her father. But I can say, just like she said, she was her biggest critic. And the one thing I try to talk to her about was there'll be times she may score 12 points, but they had so many unique defenses trying to stop her. And she was very good at distributing the ball to her teammates and giving them opportunity to score. And I said, as long as you find different ways to win, it's not always about points. So don't worry about how many points you have. Just get those victories. And she figured that out a long time ago. She's one of the most unselfish players I've seen, period. I mean, her bottom line was, if we win, it's all good.
What was the recruiting process for her? Because she signed early. Is that correct?
She actually signed, yeah, because there was another signing up in April. But I'll tell you what, Tuna, one thing that I was really surprised at is how early they jump on these kids. It's nothing like when I came through. We were at a tournament down in Atlanta, and she did very well. And before we made it back to St. Louis, she already had 4 D1 scholarship offers. Mm-hmm. And my wife, Seth, who was very strong about with the academics and what have you, and she said, they are offering Lauren a scholarship, and they don't know if she can read. And you know me, I made the comment, well, she can read a defense. That's what they need right now. But the process starts so early, and that's something that you really got to talk about with your kid, because before you know it, they're involved in the recruiting process, and they're still babies.
Mm-hmm. Alvin, how old was she when that tournament when she was down in Atlanta?
14 years old.
Wow. That's amazing. You hear kids
offered a scholarship at 14 years old.
Well, you hear of some kids getting recruited right out of eighth grade now, and for this to happen to a 14-year-old girl getting, you know, 4 offers. Wow, that speaks volumes for her game.
You know what? It really does, and it really kind of caught me off guard. I didn't know things started that early, but I can tell you what: as far as the academic side, she was more than able to be able to get into any university. One night after we were talking with the school. In the living room, and we all finished up, and we were going to bed, and I noticed that she was on her cell phone, and I kind of whispered to her, like, who are you talking to? And she said she was talking to the Harvard coach. So she was more than able academically, thank God for her mom, to be able to get to any university that she wanted to play basketball at. So that was really a blessing. That 3.98 grade point average would do a lot more for her than basketball. But with the combination, I look for great things for her in the future.
Mm-hmm. Other than Tennessee and maybe an occasional UConn, 10 years ago, women's basketball now has grown because of the UConn, the Tennessees, and the UCLA. Women's basketball now is big.
Of course it is.
It really is. I mean, we've been watching, using the app on the phone. We've gotten different packages for cable to be able to watch the different games. And we were just watching so many college games, trying to figure out where she might fit in, watching the colleges, watching different coaches, and just seeing how things go. And you had my wife looking at one thing, I was looking at something else, and Lauren was looking at the offense. I mean, we were really all hands on deck. And I think she made a great decision. I must admit, I tried to get her to South Bend, but she said, Dad, go west, young lady. I'm going west. So that was her decision. I'm more than supportive of that, and I'm wearing a UCLA hat for life now.
Wait a minute real quick. That's one of the questions that some parents have. Stay close to home so mommy and daddy can see you. No, you don't go to the school. Your daughter has to pick and choose, correct?
That is so true. That is so true. My mom and dad stepped back and said, pick a school, and I picked Notre Dame. It was great. It was wonderful for me. And looking at Lauren, I could tell the feeling that she had, the smile she had, that UCLA made her feel like Coach Faust made me feel. And I couldn't say anything but, let's go. So my wife and I were going to get our our mileage for our airline tickets, and we're ready to go.
You know, Albert, I was just about to ask you. She's going career across the country to play college basketball, so those frequent flyer miles are going to have to add up pretty quick to be able to go out there to watch her play.
Exactly, and hopefully the people in Los Angeles will think, do the Millers live out here?
And you're lucky enough, too, Alvin, that, like you said, the women's game has progressed so much. There are a lot of games that are televised and a lot of these conferences that have their own networks where you can watch the games.
Oh, man, it is. Every time you turn on, I mean, like the other day we just saw Jordan Rountree, who was her teammate at Kirkwood. She's now at Mizzou. They had a tough game, but we saw Jordan play. We saw Shug Sutton do a great job with Texas. Nafisa at UConn. I mean, the kids just all over. It's neat. And I tell you what, I'm going to say this. Missouri basketball females is not on the rise. It's already up on top. And people need to recognize and realize we have the real deal here in Missouri when it comes to girls basketball.
Yeah, they lost, this weekend, but they had a fantastic season.
Yes, they did. They really did. A very good season.
All right, let's talk about you for a little bit. You always join us once at least a year. And before we go any further, what's your take on AAU ball?
You know, I'll tell you what. AAU ball is good for basketball. And it's a matter of you can't just make a blanket statement about it. It's all about you may have one coach that people may feel like maybe doing things that are not good for the girls. But for the most part, most of the coaches are in it to get the girls exposure, to get the girls an opportunity to do what's going to be happening for them in college. And if you go about it the right way, sign the right program for your daughter, sign the right program that will help develop your daughter, I think AAU basketball is great for girls. And for as I can say, it has really helped grow the girls' game.
Now, one question came about earlier. What, and I may know the answer, may not know the answer. What made you choose? First of all, once again, name some of the schools that recruited you.
You know what? I would probably be better off naming the schools that didn't recruit me, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I was thinking that, Alvin.
I didn't get a letter from Slippery Rock, and I didn't get a letter from St. Mary's, which is all girls' school in South Bend. But other than that, I heard from everybody else.
What was the big selling point for Coach Jerry Faust when he came to Kirkwood to recruit you? What was the big selling point?
You know, at that time, if you can go back, and not to be critical of other universities, but to really talk about Coach Faust and my relationship with him, he really came in and was strong about academics. He was strong about student athletes. And Notre Dame's 99% graduation rate. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I can say is at that time, it was so important because you always heard those stories, and it happened to me. You're just one play away from getting injured. And I tell kids all the time that it wasn't that I wasn't good enough to play pro ball. It's just that my knee didn't allow me to play because I got hurt. So it was just a matter of being a student.
You still there? We may have to call him back. We'll call him back. But we're visiting with Alvin Miller, and we had his lovely daughter, Lauren Miller, on.
She sounds like she is very together for a young lady.
She sounds like she is.
Her head is on straight. She knows what she wants. And it is just refreshing to talk to young people who know what they want and know where they're going.
She sounds like she's got a 3.9 GPA.
3.9? That's phenomenal.
That's right at it.
UCLA, you better
have some books going to UCLA.
You better have it.
They don't have Prop 48s at UCLA.
And if Harvard's on the phone with her late at night.
You didn't say that right.
You can tell. All right,
let's go back.
Harvard.
Go ahead, I will finish up what you were saying.
Yeah, and I was also for AU, it was very good. It's good for the boys as well. But Notre Dame is just about being that true student athlete and getting it done. And I look at it that I could probably play football. I'm going to go pro no matter where I go to school if I stay healthy.
Right.
But I was really concerned about getting that education. And I can say now, many universities are so strong, and the NCAA has done a good job on all schools making sure the student athlete is educated. And I think it's just awesome what they have done and the progress they've made in everybody becoming educated.
You know, Alvin, you know, talk about going to Notre Dame, you know, with the curriculum there, you know, you have to be a student athlete first. East St. Louis' LaPhonso Ellis, I remember he was academic ineligible there maybe once, might have been twice, and he said, let's get some clarification. I was eligible by NCAA standards, but I was ineligible by Notre Dame standards.
That is so true. And I just want people to realize that when that happens to people, just that they're about academics, not just what the NCAA wants, but what they feel like you should need to be taking up and having, what class you need to take and what grades you need to be making. So that is so correct. When you're ineligible Notre Dame, you're not dumb. They just want you to be on track and get it done the right way.
No matter how good or bad the Notre Dame football program is, Alvin, they can always recruit anywhere, anybody. But what is the reason? There's only been a handful of St. Louisans in the Bi-State area that have gone to the University of Notre Dame to play football. You're one of them. I can think of a few other ones. Jerome Havens. from Assumption High School. What is the reason that they don't recruit more in the St. Louis area?
You know what? I think it's funny you say that because I had to make some phone calls and say, we have a kid named Jeremy Macklin from my high school. You may want to come talk to him. Mm-hmm. I just think somewhere on the line, I'm just going to shoot straight to you, just as I mentioned about our girls basketball players here in Missouri. Missouri, we have the talent. This area is just loaded with talent. I just think sometimes because of, you know, give me a couple of, once the season, football season starts, I can turn on my cable and I can see high school games from Texas, but I can't even see the girls' championship basketball game, the boys' championship football game. Right. I shouldn't have to go online and pay $10 to see that. Yeah. That should be on TV. That should be on TV. We have to get these great kids exposure because that's what people will recognize and realize how good they are. I'm in St. Louis. I shouldn't be watching four and five different Texas State championships on my TV. I should be watching Missouri. So I think the key is exposure. And maybe that's something now that my daughter is moving on to UCLA and I have time and I will be maybe the gatekeeper to come to St. Louis if you're looking for the real deal talent, because it's here.
Mm-hmm. My guest, former high school player of the year, Alvin Miller. Alvin, Coach Kelly had a really tough season last year. A lot of people are talking about him. Now, when it comes to the coaches, how tough are the alumni when it comes to a coach being let go or kept?
You know what? I'll be honest. You know, I always shoot straight with you, Tuna. Probably more overbearing than we need to be. But the one comment I did make a few years ago to my friends and many alumni at Notre Dame, and I said that the way things are, a lot of people have the secret sauce, and there's going to be a lot of people on top, and sometimes Notre Dame will not be on top like we want them to be. But when that happens, don't run that coach out of town, because just as sure as he was on top at one time, he knows how to do it. So give him a chance to bounce back, just like back in the good old days with Joe Paterno, just like up there with Hayden Fryer, just like with Osborne. No matter what happened, those guys stayed there. They went up, they went down, and they went up. So just stick with them, because you're not going to maintain on top because it's just too many good programs. Now, true, Alabama is doing it now, but overall, a lot of teams are up and down, and they keep bouncing coaches out of there. Get a coach that you know is capable of doing it and has done it, and just stick with him through the good time and the bad time, and it'll pay off in the end. That's my opinion.
I think a lot of these athletes now, they see these coaches jump from job to job to job, and they don't know who to trust when they're in the recruiting process, Alvin, and they don't know where to go, and then they just follow, you know, where their buddies go. Or where
and that's why, if nothing else, a school like Notre Dame,
right,
no matter who's the coach, people can say, I can tell you what, you're going to be going to, it's going to be a decent program and a good place to be, if nothing else. And there's quite a few other institutions who are getting like that. But you're right, you don't know who's going to be where. And it gets kind of scary for a kid because you're making a decision. Even now, my daughter, without going into details, coaches who came to my home, four of those coaches are no longer at that university. And my daughter could have been signed with those schools, and that coach is gone. So you're right. It's a scary process. And I always say, you know, don't just pick a face, but pick a place.
That's true.
You are the school I wanted you to go to, of course, I wasn't your real father, but you know where I wanted you to go to, don't you?
Oklahoma, Tuna.
And I always tell this story because we brought Barry Switzer out to the house. And he was very complimentary of me, but at the time, Oklahoma was wishbone, and they didn't pass enough for probably an Alvin Miller, but it would have been a great school, though, wouldn't it, Alvin?
Oh, it would have been. The only thing Oklahoma was passing, they were just passing the peas at dinner, and that's about it.
Who were some of your teammates when you were at Notre Dame, and do you still stay in touch?
Oh, let me tell you, Tuna. When my daughter won that championship Saturday night, my phone lit up. It lit up from Dallas, from Tim Brown, from Houston, Robert Banks. My friend Byron Sporrell is president of the NBA. Rod West is running the energy company down in New Orleans. My friend in California, Reggie Ward. Brandy Wells, my friend down in New Orleans. High school coach Cedric Figueroa, who played here for the Rams, we all keep in touch. And it's time for us to get together because we're all 50. And they all gave me love when Lauren won the championship. So it's a hell of a bond that we've kept forever.
Well, you forgot,
we continue to keep together and do what we have to do.
You forgot one star that contacted you. I did. And I'm not a star. I'm just kidding you. I sent you a congratulatory text. Yeah, you got the text because you responded to me.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. My big brother, you sent one. And my other big brother, Arthur, he sent me one, too. He was watching the game.
Okay. So Kirkwood did win the state championship.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I forgot all about that. Hey.
Yeah, I told my daughter before you got on the radio, I was telling her, this is the guy. Remember I told you about those kangaroo shoes? Mm-hmm. She said, yeah. I said, this is my man right here. She started laughing.
You wore a lot of kangaroos.
I did.
Matter of fact, Alvin Miller and Bashan High School were the first people that we put in kangaroo shoes from high schools. Because I told the owner of Kangaroo, Bob Gamble, I said, we got a high school kid that's going to get more publicity than a college player with. And you sure did. Because you never left the field, did you, in high school on football?
I didn't leave the field. And let the record show, I do have my receipts still for when I bought those kangaroos.
I know you did. I know. Keep those receipts. Keep those receipts because I got a call from the Smet once about that very same thing. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Not you. Oh, no, it made the newspapers. Not you. So the next year, I said, I'll fix the Smet. I took care of them and put them in kangaroos. They can play.
Shoes.
Go ahead. Alvin, thanks very much for joining us. And by the way, how is Tim Brown? And you were very happy when he made the Hall of Fame, I'm sure.
Oh, man, we were all there just celebrating. It was just awesome. If there was a Hall of Fame for a gentleman, he'd be in that Hall of Fame as well. He's doing well. He has a few business adventures that will be coming out eventually. Overall, Tim Brown is doing well. And if more guys could be like Tim Brown, they would have a good life after playing football.
Will Notre Dame be back? I'm putting you on the spot. Will they be back this season?
They will be.
They better
be. And I can just say, I looked at the schedule. It's not the schedule that Coach Faust used to play. So I expect Fighting Irish to be back in the thick of things.
Well,
I'm not going to necessarily say the championship game, but I can say there's going to be some victories going on once again in South Bend.
What's the difference? Because a lot of people don't remember Moses. I know Joe Faust came. Was it for Moeller? High school, he was a high school coach.
It was from going from Coach Faust to Coach Holtz, it was night and day. Mm-hmm. But one thing I did tell the guys, if you really think back and look back, Coach Faust did a remarkable job considering that was his first college job. Mm-hmm. So we lost some games, but we still sometimes beat Joe Paterno. We beat Michigan. We beat USC. So he still had the big wins. He just wasn't consistent. Because he wasn't used to college. So and there were times he was afraid to use the young players. You know, I kind of watched a little football as a freshman. When I said I was about to pack my bags and leave, I got to play in the Liberty Bowl and score my first touchdown. So life was good after that. I should have spoke up sooner, but life is good. I have to make sure I put all in my book, Tuna, which I'm close to being done with.
That's right. You did tell me you were going to be doing a book. Hey, Alvin, thanks very much for joining us. And once again, congratulations on your lovely daughter, Lauren. From all of us here, and I'll be in touch.
All right. God bless, big brother.
Thank you. Alvin Miller. You know, sometimes we got to go that route. I wanted to ask him about the recruiting, but we did. We do it all the time because he was recruited. What did he say? Who didn't recruit me? Every school. Just think if he were playing today.
He would get a lot more media exposure.
Yeah, it would be more ESPNU.
Yeah, oh, it would just be crazy.
More questions about those kangaroos.
No, I'm going to tell you a true story. Vashon used to get kangaroos. They wore kangaroos because Vashon used to pattern their uniforms after Duke. And people don't realize they thought Vashon was after. No, they patterned their uniforms after Duke. And they would get shoes. So what was this Met coach? I forgot his name. He's the one that gave Florida finger at a semifinal game at Umpsa Frank. And right in front of thousands of people gave him the finger because Florida made him mad. So he called the state and said that Charlie Tuna had given Vashon shoes, which was illegal. But we didn't. We didn't give him shoes. They bought their shoes. So the next season, the Smet was in kangaroos. And they took them too. But everybody paid for the shoes. We didn't charge the high school kids a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the way it was. Speaking of Vashon, it takes a date again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Boulevard, 44-42, Tony Irons, congratulations again. And like they said, it never gets too old. And Cornered Word also won in their Class 4A championship. They beat St. Pius of Kansas City 59-37.
Wasn't there four St. Louis area schools that went down there, and St. Louis was 4-4 in state championship?
Kirkwood beat Rockbridge 60 semifinals. Let me see. I'll find them, and when we come back, I'll tell you.
Salute them all.
Yep. Championship, Kirkwood beat Lee Summit. And Kirkwood played for beat Lee Summit for the championship game. So.
Congrats to all of them. Yeah.
Hey, we're going to take my first time out. This portion brought to you by Weber Chevrolet, WeberChevrolet.com. Skip is on vacation. He'll be back next Monday. Weber Chevrolet, WeberChevrolet.com. Don't worry about credit, folks. Credit. It's like crime. It don't pay, but we can get you financed. I don't care what your credit situation is. A lot of people are credit challenged. You go through a divorce. Go through a separation. It's something when you go through a divorce, man. You don't feel like doing nothing. I've been there, done that. But I do feel like doing something. I feel like going to Weber Chevrolet. WeberChevrolet.com. We'll be right back.
Gentlemen, how would you like thicker, fuller hair without side effects?